to live righteously. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and my guest for this episode is Sean Rapier. In fact, I don't even know that that's how you say your last
name. That is how I say it.
I didn't ask you that before we turned the microphone on. It could be Rapier.
It could be Rapier. It could be a great many things, but it's Rapier. I say Rapier.
You may know him from Latter-day Lives. I like to call it that sweet little break off of the Cultural Hall, but that's just in my mind, and I don't share that with many people. That's just me being petty. And you've also got a new project going on. I'll let you defend the insult that I just threw your way, but talk about your new project first.
So the new project, it sounds crazy to me. The new project is basically four Latter-day Saint comedians, active, strong, good comedians sitting around talking about Latter-day Saint culture on Facebook Live. Uh-huh. We call it Linger Longer Live. Sort of what happens at a Linger Longer? People sit around, they shoot the bull about whatever. So
and then they get married. So are you guys going to get married?
That probably won't happen. We're all happily married men, so okay. It's all good. So
it's a dudes only party at the
it's
Linger Longer.
It's four
Live.
Dudes. Yeah. So we did one episode that was about what was it about? Award potluck dinners.
Okay.
We're doing another one right now that's going to be live about family home evening.
How are you doing another one right now that's going to be live?
Yeah, we're doing another one. Well, it's weird because I know this isn't airing right away.
I get it. So like,
we actually
passed,
let me just put it this way: we did one that was very successful on the night of Thursday the 13th at 7 p.m. It was fantastic. It was fantastical. So yeah, so we just choose nothing about the religion itself, nothing about doctrine, but Michael B, who is in Church Ball, and
sure,
all those
guests of the Cultural Hall.
Yes, so funny, he's in it, and Stephen Jones, who was
Former guest of the Cultural Hall.
Yeah, Stephen Jones, who is hilarious.
And is he still doing his Sunday night things with his wife?
Yes, where they sit and talk about the Book of Mormon and stuff.
What is that called?
I don't know if Stephen has a name for it or not, but he's a remarkably spiritual guy. He's a seminary teacher.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, he's a full-time seminary teacher. He was, until recently, one of the hosts of Random Acts on BYU TV.
Oh,
But they kind of rotate hosts, so he's not doing that now. But, he's hilarious. And then Ken Craig, who played the bishop in Once I Was a Beehive, he's been in a bunch of commercials and stuff. He should. He's so funny.
Nope.
So Ken Craig and I, the four of us just sit down and we just talk, and then we take Facebook Live questions.
How do you know those guys?
Ken and I were in a comedy group together, the Garen's Comedy Troupe, many years ago. Michael B and I have been doing stand-up together for 23 years, something like that. Uh-huh. And then Stephen Jones through stand-up.
Okay.
We did stand-up. Stephen opened for me once, I think, or something like that, and we've all been friends ever since.
Okay, so who are you? Let's get into this.
So I'm Sean Rapier.
Right. Now people should know this. I don't think that we've ever met before today.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
But people have always sort of said, Sean Rapier, and it's you've sort of all like if there were planets that orbited,
we've been in orbit,
but they don't touch each other.
So
I'm doing
everybody,
this awesome thing right now with my fingers that doesn't make any sense about orbiting. But I mean, we really have kind of been in same circles, and people have said Sean Rapier, and I'm like, okay, well
it's
sure
good
I'll
that we've met. It's good that we met because people assume that we know each other.
Yeah.
The number of times people just said, oh, yeah, I was talking to Richie. Richie. So I, and I go, yeah, well, I know Richie generally, but we've never met. So I'm here. Yeah. So
you're a Utah guy?
No, I am now. I've lived in Utah 23 years.
So essentially
and,
a Utah guy.
Yeah, I grew up in San Jose, California, the Bay Area. Everyone knows the way to
Isn't
San Jose.
Terrible?
They don't even need to sing it anymore because
everyone knows
the way.
Whoa.
Well, it's Google Maps. Everybody knows the way now.
Yeah.
They just open Google Maps and they get there.
You can't trust it because it'll
Well, you can't trust
cliff.
It because you have to have $1 million to buy a shack there anymore. It's not the place where I grew up.
It's
so,
This is not your mom's Jose,
oh,
San Jose.
Gosh, no. It's now No Way Jose because you cannot afford a thing there. I mean, it's literally so expensive.
Are we being funny?
The house I grew up in?
Right now?
I don't know. Are we even recording? I don't know how this all works.
The house you grew up in.
The house I grew up in, my parents paid, $60,000 for it.
Wow.
And then last time it sold for $1.1 million.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a crazy place, San Jose.
Yeah.
Crazy. I was there a couple weeks ago and don't even recognize it. Great place to grow up.
High school or what was the
deal? Yeah, I grew up there through high school Bill went on a mission to the Chile Osorno mission.
Talk about it.
The Osorno mission, the one that no one's heard of.
Okay. I've never heard that reference.
Every time I say Chile, people go, oh, Santiago.
Uh-huh.
And I go, no. Osorno.
And there's another one, too, that's pretty popular in Chile, right?
There's Concepcion,
yep.
There's Antofagasta,
yeah, that one too.
There's Viña del Mar, yep. And then the Osorno that nobody's ever heard of.
So why has no one ever heard of the Osorno?
I don't know. There are a few hundred missionaries there, but it's the southern tip of Chile.
Does that make it warmer or colder?
Freezing. Man, it's cold. But the mission itself is like the length of California.
Wow.
So, I mean, literally, I was on airplanes quite often in my mission and boats and all kinds of stuff. So it's pretty fun. You know, I was on an island for a little while. I was down where there's snow and penguins for a while.
Really?
Yeah, we were right on the Straits of Magellan right across from Tierra del Fuego. So it's kind of fun.
That's awesome.
It's really cool. One cool thing about my mission is if you end up serving in the south, there's like every region in the mission is different. But if you are in the far south, where I was for 5 months, mm-hmm. when I got there, the sun was... coming up at about 2 o'clock in the morning. By about 2 a.m, it was completely bright sunshine.
Yeah.
And then it got dark again at about 11 p.m. So we never saw dark.
Yeah.
And then
you just kind of get
almost,
dusk and dawn, right? It's like,
yeah,
oh, here comes
like,
again.
Like, it was just light. You'd wake up to light, you go to bed to light. And then 5 months later, when I was getting ready to leave, the sun was coming up at about 11 in the morning or so. And then it was pitch black again by 2 p.m.
Wow.
And so you'd have 3 hours of day. So within a 5 month span, I'm going from all day to 3 hours. So cool mission. Great mission.
Trippy a little?
It's weird. When I first got there and it was light all day, I remember my first day there telling my companion, I was like, what is the deal? Is it 3 p.m, whatever? And he was like, no, it's like 9 p.m.
Yeah, your
body. So it went by super fast. And then the reverse happens, you know, a few months later. Suddenly you're going, are we done yet? It's 2 p.m. It's dark. It's weird.
I know, like in Alaska, where they have a similar thing because of where it is in the northern part, they have like support groups in the wintertime when the sun is not around, where it's like, if you're feeling dark, make sure that you talk to someone, because there is a lot of that when there is very minimal amounts of sunshine.
I get it. It's depressing. I mean, I was only there for 5 months, but you know, it was tricky. But I had good companions there.
Successful mission is whatever you determine it. I'm not going to place what success is.
No, successful mission, sure. Yeah, I mean, I made it through and still have some people I keep in contact with, have great companions, solidified me in the gospel. I was an inactive teenager. I don't know if that word is still acceptable
or not.
I don't know. Are we allowed to say that?
You can't say Mormon either.
In fact,
teenager is the next thing on the chart.
Teenager is about to be banned.
Until President Nelson speaks at next year.
I was a 10 plus. I was a 10 plus, 20 minus, non...
Friend of
going,
faith,
I gosh,
faith.
I can't get, I can't do all this. I really was. I was, you know, this was the 80s. I was very into the punk rock thing,
sure.
and had pretty severe ADD. Dropped out of high school.
Really?
Yeah, dropped out of high school my junior year and was kind of just lost. And one night, kind of had that moment where I realized, hey, I'm a total failure at everything, and life is not going to be good if I continue down this path, and kind of just put my life together. And you know, I don't think, knowing what I know now from working with young men and whatnot, I don't think I could have gone today, but I'm grateful I could so for me, it was like the first thing I was ever successful in. So it was that too. And I went out so paranoid that I was going to screw up like my whole ward thought I would, that I worked extra hard. And so I was like paranoid about rules and
stuff.
They
are not going to let me be the thing that they think
I am. I refuse to go home early, you know. And I think everyone was a little bit surprised. So very successful mission. Yeah, I loved it.
What about when you got the call? Were you like, yeah, or you're like, where is that?
I couldn't pronounce it. So I was like, you've been called to the Chile Osorno. So yeah, so Osorno it was. I don't know. I said, you know, classic mission story. I said, I don't want to go to South America and I don't want to speak Spanish.
Sure.
And then I got called to Chile Osorno, but that's
speaking
okay.
Speaking Spanish.
It was an awesome experience. You know, the mission's cool. I think, you know, you look back at it and would I want to go tomorrow? No.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to come home when I was there. So,
right.
You know.
It's sort of a bizarre thing to even look back on that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I remember when it's like, maybe I should extend. And then my family was like, man, just come home. And I was like, okay, I'll come home. And then I got home. I was like, why was I thinking that extending was the thing? Like, just do the time that the Lord asked.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know, He's not like, hey, you could have used six more weeks.
I remember telling a greenie who was like having a really tough time.
Greenie.
Darn it. Gosh, is there a cheat sheet? Do you have like a translation code?
I think the way we do it now is that you know in your heart.
Yeah.
So you don't need a cheat sheet.
Well, will you bleep that out, greenie? Just bleep. When I say Mormon, if I say Mormon LDS, greenie, teenager.
Whoa, watch your mouth.
Just bleep it all out.
This will end up being just a bleeped episode.
Yeah, but I remember telling a new missionary, I remember telling a new missionary, he was like, do you ever, like, aren't you just super excited to go home? And I remember telling him, like, look, I really want to go home. I want to watch a movie. I want to have a cheeseburger. I want to see the girl I was dating before my mission. I want to see my friends. I want to see my family. I want to do all that for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to come back out.
Right.
Because it was life. It was my life. So, but it really put me, I mean, without a mission, I will say I'm a big advocate for it because I was lost and I don't know that there was anything else that was going to point me the right way. So I'm like super fanboy of missions.
So then you get home and what?
I get home and...
See that girl you were dating before?
I was, you know. This is one of those great Mormon stories. Sorry, Latter-day Saint stories. I got home, I was...
Yourself, but
yeah. I got home and, you know, I had dated this girl for a year before I left. The 2 years that I was gone, she dated nobody else.
Mm.
But she moved to Southern California to go to college. And I got home and we were like, hey, this is still a thing. She said, hey, move down to Southern California. We'll get married. Everything's like perfect. So I moved my entire life to Southern California just for this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I get there and she says, this is the craziest thing, but this is 3 years later. She says, I met a guy yesterday and I don't know why I can't get him out of my mind.
Wow.
And I was like, well, okay, this is going to be quick. It's going to be over. So then like, I just kind of hung back and then for weeks, They're still dating. And she's like, yeah, this is really a thing.
Uh-huh.
So I started to pack up. I was like, well, I'm going to go home back to Northern California.
Right.
As I'm packing my stuff, I swear I felt the spirit just say, I told you to move to Southern California. I never told you why. And that was it. So I unpacked my stuff, dated some girls, hung out, had a great time, had the best roommates. We lived in a place that we called Old Man Palmer's Groove Palace, kind of had this wonderful, you know, that wonderful experience that time in life.
Yeah, we had a place called the Stud Stable. That's
the Stud Stable, yeah. The Stud Stable.
Isn't it fun out?
You know what?
It's, name a place and it's like, this is ridiculous.
Do you look back at living at that time? I look back at it and I go, how did we live that way?
Yeah.
You know, we would go, this true story, we would go, we were three roommates, we rented a whole house.
Uh-huh.
This was in Riverside, California.
Nice.
And so we rented this house. We would go out like to dinner or whatever. And by going out to dinner, I mean 7-layer burritos were 99 cents.
Yeah.
So we'd buy two of those because that's all we could afford. And we'd come home and our house would be filled with people we didn't know.
Yeah.
Like we literally didn't know them. And we'd go, hi, you know, like, who are you guys? Oh, we're from this other ward or this other stake. We heard about this house, whatever. We'd go to bed with people still hanging out in our living room, but we had nothing you'd want to steal.
Yeah,
like
so
nothing.
It was
a,
so free.
A drum set and a guitar.
Yep.
That was it in the house, and some Beastie Boys CDs. Like nothing else. Otherwise, what were you going to steal?
Yeah,
so
I'm going to bed, I'm not worried about anything. Good night, guys.
Yeah, so I end up meeting this girl. So I would, you know, I was just kind of hanging out, bachelor guy, whatever.
Wait,
all cool.
I gotta stop you. Did that girl marry that guy?
She married the guy.
Well, then,
she married the guy.
Then that's fine.
Oh, it's like the best story in the world. This is what I'm saying. This is cool. This is why it's kind of a classic Latter-day Saint story. She married the guy. Everything's great, right? But even before she marries the guy, right? So I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna be a bachelor for several years.
Yep.
All good.
Yep.
True story, I'm Elvis Costello comes to town, and I'm a huge Elvis Costello fan, and so I want to go see him. None of my friends listen to him. I talk my best friend into going with me. Next day, I'm at church, and I'm talking to my friend about the show, and this girl who I just thought was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen, she's incredible, and she walks by, and she goes, are you guys talking about Elvis Costello? And I said, yeah. She goes, I went last night. I couldn't find anyone else to go with me. And I swear, that was it. Game over. I was so smitten with this girl. But she was so out of my league. She was a couple years older than I was. And
sure. She
was her class president at Loma Linda Medical University. And here I am, dropout schlub guy, whatever. So through a crazy series of events, music is a big part of my life. We all went to a Sarah McLachlan show, of all things, This girl and I ended up sitting next to each other, And everybody else was on the other side of the room. She and I sat together all night, ended up talking all night. The next morning, I told my best friend, I'm going to marry that girl, Vanessa. We weren't even dating or anything. I just said, I'm going to marry her. And through a series of crazy events, we got married less than 4 years or 4 months later.
Wow.
Yeah, less than four months.
So you did that in the Latter-day Saint way.
Yes. And so that was being married to Vanessa, best 2.5 months of my life. And then I was... No, I'm kidding. We stayed married. We're still married. In fact, it's been 24 years. So we've literally been married 24 years. So it does happen. Like, everybody rolls their eyes, including me, at that whole...
Yes.
I saw you and, you know, and though we didn't talk about pre-existence or anything else. Right. It was just one of those things. I swear, the minute I met her, I thought, oh yeah, that's right, this is my wife. And it was all cool since then. I think part of it, the truth is, I think I'm not, and I don't mean this to be self-deprecating, I'm not that bright. I'm not a very smart guy.
I believe this.
And so, no, you can ask anyone.
No, I'm looking at you.
I'm you don't look that bright. Yeah, it's not hard.
Dim.
It's not hard to convince. But I think it had to happen that way, because otherwise, I don't think I would have ever gotten married.
Sure.
I think it just felt so natural. So we got married. That was 24 years ago. So the ex-girlfriend and her husband got married a month after we did.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. Of all the crazy things, her husband came to my ceiling. Anyway, it all worked out great. So we lived in, she hadn't gone through the temple yet, didn't come. So we got married. We lived in Southern California a little while. Moved to Provo.
Go to the BYU?
And no, my wife had an internship that she had set up before we got married. My wife is an occupational therapist.
Okay.
My wife is a very, very smart woman.
So that explains to me some
currently,
of the things that I was going to ask you later.
Yeah, currently working on her doctorate right now at the University of Utah.
So brains and beauty.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
I know. How did I do it? I don't know. I have no idea. Wit.
Yep.
And speed.
Sense of humor.
Speed.
And I got it done before she could reconsider.
That's what it really was. Yeah. I think 6 months in, she was going, wait a minute. What just happened?
Hey,
what happened here? So we get married. We moved to Utah, and we've been here ever since. So we're Utah residents.
But why Provo, right? Because I don't take you as a, the shelter of the Utah.
The Provolonian type.
Like, I can see you as a Salt Lake Latter-day Saint.
Yeah.
I can't really see you as a Provo Latter-day.
Me neither. So, interestingly enough, my wife had an internship, and I was doing stand-up comedy. I was working for one of the local talent agencies selling acting classes. I was doing some teaching. I was doing improv. I was doing stand-up. My stand-up career started to move.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing corporate gigs and whatnot. So I could kind of live anywhere. My wife had an internship with the Provo School District to be their occupational therapist. In the occupational therapy world, very hard to get a job in pediatrics.
Okay.
It's a lot of jobs with older people. And so they said, no, we will hire you. And so she said, can we just stay in Utah for a year?
Mm-hmm.
She said, this is such a good job. So I agreed to 1 year, 1 year only, then we're moving back to California. And that was 23 years ago that happened. Yeah, I lost.
Yeah,
I basically lost. So it was because of her job. And then I don't know how much you want to hear about the crazy reasons we stayed in Provo.
A little, and then I want to take a break.
Okay. Well, maybe you should take a break, because it's not a little story.
Here's the
teaser on it. My wife comes home, and I'm doing stand-up and selling acting classes and stuff. I'm happy as a lark.
Which, by the way, could there be a more mismatched kind of...
Yeah.
I'm an occupational therapist.
Yeah.
Cool, what'd you do? I'm telling jokes.
I tell jokes at night, and then to supplement it, I sell frozen steaks door-to-door.
Hey.
That was my life.
Yeah.
A bigger loser there could not have been. So,
how's your high school diploma?
Yes. And by the way, that plan to go back to college, that also ended 23 years ago.
Forget it.
So wife comes home one day and says, hey, by the way, there's this 1 and 2 year old that the 2 year old boy has a lot of problems. Everybody wants to adopt his 1 year old sister. Nobody wants to adopt the 2 year old right now because he has a lot of medical problems and mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to adopt them.
Good for her.
And I said, no, we're not. That's not us. We don't do that. And then through a lot of prayer, I agreed we are. Okay. And then my wife said, and by the way, I'm going to quit my job and stay home and you get to support us.
Oh my gosh.
And we had just bought our first house and everything else. And I looked around and said, I probably am not funny enough to be a full-time stand-up comic. And I need to be solid for these kids. And I went out and got a corporate job. And, that's led us down the path that we're on now.
Let's take a break real quick and we'll come back. Pick up right there in the second block of the Cultural Hall.
Beautiful.
Hey, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. Are you experiencing panic attacks, nausea, or diarrhea? Is your computer not turning on? Is it running super slow? Is your internet crawling? Or is it just randomly crashing? You could be suffering from ICS, Irritable Computer Syndrome. I want you to ask yourself, when was the last time you had your PC cleaned? Over time, Windows, updates, spyware, malware, and dangerous viruses will make your computer run like crap. You need to bring in your laptop or desktop PC, no matter what brand it is, and let me run a 100% free virus scan, malware, and spyware scan on your computer. Don't wait and risk losing everything. Now, why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that if you or any of your friends or family need a computer, service, or phone repair, you come to PC Laptops first. Get into any one of our locations right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, where computers start at $799. PC Laptops, we love you!
All right, so your wife, we've established, way better than you. Don't ever screw up, otherwise...
I wish I could even argue. I wish you were being sarcastic. She is so much better.
Calling it
she
as I
is,
see it.
She is a saint, yes.
In these latter days. So she comes home and she says, okay, get a job. But for those of us that are creative types, that idea of, like, I'm working 8 to 5, that is a hard...
Yeah, it was, you know what, it was an adjustment, but for me, it was less of a work 8 to 5. I didn't mind that so much because I had gotten sold on the fact that we're adopting these kids. It was more like, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, you go in with a resume that says, I'm a high school dropout.
Right.
And I sell meat door to door and I'm a comedian.
Right.
So would you like to hire me?
Yeah.
And then, you know.
And by the way, I need to make enough money to support 2 kids we just adopted and a house we just bought.
If you don't mind, we'd like to support them. And so, you know, I was working at this agency and I seemed to be pretty good at sales, you know, and you know, selling frozen beef door to door, which was, you know, not easy to sell the frozen beef door to door. So anyway, a friend of mine was the VP of sales for a company and he hired me to be the Utah sales rep for computer cables into retailers here. And I found that I was pretty good at it. I enjoyed it. Worked my way up to being a channel sales rep for them and did some national accounts.
Wow.
Economy crashed in 2001, started my own company. And we built that till 2005. We sold it. And then since then, I've been a VP of sales for a few different companies. We've started a few companies and sold them, and they've done well, which was nice. And
so
now,
what do you do now?
So I'm the VP of sales for a company out of Australia that's called STM Brands.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking awesome company.
Yeah, they're the best.
They're amazing.
Phone cases.
iPad cases. Laptop bags. And cream pies.
I don't believe
I just wanted to see if you'd go along with it.
Tim Tam, maybe.
No.
Not a cream
you know, the Tim Tam. I'm impressed.
Well.
Yeah. So, yeah, they always bring Tim Tams when they come.
Tim Tams, for people who are listening and don't know, are a delicious sort of wafery chocolatey cookie.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're out of Australia. So I'm the vice president of sales. So I travel almost every week for my job. I work with, like, Target and AT&T and Best Buy and all those kind of guys. And that's what I do. I've done that now for, you know, 21 years. Yeah. So of all the crazy things, we adopted the 2 kids and I'll tell you, the Lord, God bless adopted families. The Lord has this way of putting us together and there's a roadmap. So we adopted the 2 who were 1 and 2 and they're 22 and 23 now. Then we had a kid who's now 20. We then had another kid who's 15. We then adopted a 14-year-old daughter who's now 27.
Oh, wow.
We then adopted a 9-year-old son who's now 16. We then adopted another 14-year-old girl who is now 20. So it's so we have 7 kids total, 5 adopted. And yeah, if you ever drive in Linden and you're looking for Wi-Fi and you see the code Dysfunction Junction, that's my house. You'll know that's us because we are the hodgepodge of craziness.
Talk serious for a minute. Adoption is hard.
Hard. Rewarding. And hard. And I love all of my children. When you adopt older kids, especially when you get them very young, it depends. I mean, we knew that our son had a lot of issues going on. We knew that going in. But generally, if you get them as babies, you know, it's not really a thing
you take
as
the
much.
Dice, yeah, and you roll them.
Yeah,
and go,
exactly. Yeah. But you do that when you have your own kids. Right? I mean, you know, when you adopt older kids, many of them have what they call attachment disorders, and what it comes down to is their heart has just been broken so many times that they will not go through that again. So they, for a while, they'll fight you hoping that you'll break it off with them before they bond.
Right.
But so, you know, we've had multiple children in jail, and we've had the cops for a while knew where our house was. We had them on speed dial. And, and you know, we've had kids who have been kicked out of schools, and, you know, we've had family vacations that have ended quite early. I've been at the Disney World police office for shoplifting with a daughter. And you know what? I wouldn't trade a darn thing. It's been like the coolest thing in the world. And I'm in a great place with all my kids. I love them. And my wife is an angel because I was traveling. I still travel almost, you know, every week of my life.
Yeah.
And my wife just, I'd get home from a trip and I'd say, he's spending a weekend, you know, away to get some time to think.
He's gonna get some things straight.
The police think that he should, you know, but it's been so cool. My kids are doing great and they're all great. You know, they're all awesome.
That's so amazing. Cause I know a lot of people, I mean, even with the example of the 1 and the 2-year-old, right? A lot of people are like, my problems. I'm not doing a problem thing. Thanks, but no thanks.
That was my wife. And you know what? That was the Lord. And
well,
at the end of the day,
you were kind of expressing that too, right?
Yeah, I was. I was like,
story,
yeah, that's
like, we're
not
gonna
happening.
Do this. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
No.
We were going to have 2 kids of our own. And like, I was compromising on 2. I wanted 1. And we ended up with 7. And it's the coolest thing. But I will say each time that I did receive revelation, you know, personal revelation that this is it. This is your family. And I have no doubt that what's the difference? You know,
yeah,
I mean, really,
yeah,
we've been through the temple with all of them. We've been sealed. I'm a big believer in the temple. I'm a big believer in the sealing power. I'm one of those all in Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
I don't. Again, going back to intelligence, I'm not smart enough to question the gospel.
Right.
And it's my greatest blessing in life is I accept it for what it is. But I know that this is how our children were meant to come to us. I know we're a family. I know we're sealed. As far as everything else goes, and, you know, some of our kids, their parents have died. Some have disappeared. Some we don't know what's going on.
Right.
That'll all be sorted out someday.
Sure.
And that it will be a part of my family and their family. But the Lord knows what he's doing. And man, if I could tell you the backstories on each of them and how they got to us, there is no question the Lord's hand is just unbelievable in our lives.
And interesting something to you that you said is I think that, you know, receiving that revelation or knowing that that person is part of the family, I think it shores you up in the hard times, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to do this at all.
Hard as it is,
but,
you know.
But I know that I am. To do this, so I guess I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, there is no question. And, you know, I look at our friends and, you know, we have friends who have had kids who have had cancer or, you know, one of my best friends has, his son was born with hydrocephalus, you know, water on the brain. And, you know, every family has their trials.
Sure.
And so we are just a really funky, interesting family. And one of the great things about it is like, you know, we'll talk to friends who will be like distraught, like, I don't know what to do. My son is thinking about not going to BYU. We don't know what to do. Can we have a ward fast, you know? And we're like, yeah, I had to talk my son out of getting a Slayer tattoo on his forehead this morning. It's like the exact same thing we're going through. You know, like, it's cool that we have these other problems that we're able to say, you know, it puts life in perspective, but it's drawn us close as a family, and we laugh, and now we look back at some of the crazy stuff and we just laugh. I mean, it's funny now because we made it through it, you know, and we're close with all of our kids, so it's cool.
So let's talk about Latter-day Lives, shall we?
Latter-day Lives. Latter-day Lives is an offshoot of this podcast.
Stop it. It's not.
No, it's well, it's very similar, I think, in a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, we do, so the Latter-day Lives podcast, we are, you know, started over a year ago. And basically what it came down to is I realized that I'm not the most talented guy on earth, but I have like the most remarkably talented friends mm-hmm. from years of, so I kept doing comedy. I should go back because I did start a career. And a lot of people think that, like, you have to be either or. Mm-hmm. And I have continued to do stand-up comedy. I've continued writing. I've continued doing film. I've done a little bit of acting. I have some entertainers I write for that I, you know, and it's great when I'm on the road.
That's cool.
I have a film partner that we do some writing. We just did, I just wrote The Killers' last music video, which was fun. We've done a few music videos. For Rut.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that was fun. We've done a few cool music videos.
By
and
the way,
a few...
if you didn't hear that, that was The Killers. So let me go ahead and pick that name up. Hold on.
Did I say The Killers loud enough? Killers.
Brother Flowers.
The Killers. Did I drop that? There. Oh, wait a minute. Brother Flowers, yeah. Who's been on your show?
Yeah, who's been here on the Cultural
yes,
Hall.
Yes, he's been on the Cultural yes. Hall. Yes.
Brief.
So.
But here.
He was here. I listened to that.
Yeah.
So, so I've stayed involved in all this stuff and, you know, and I enjoy Latter-day Saint humor, too. Uh-huh. We did a DVD a few years ago called Latter-day Night Live that uh-huh. was really fun that, for whatever reason, a little three-minute bit of mine keeps popping up online that's kind of fun.
Which, what it's about?
I open up my stand-up as if it were opening a church talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I walk out and say, brothers and sisters, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share this comedy with you. When the owner of the comedy club first called and asked me to do these jokes, I got really nervous. Yeah. Go through all the church talk
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no, so. I've seen it and yeah. I recognize you for it. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I was young and thinner. I was never thin, but I was thinner. That was me. That was okay. me who
yeah,
did that.
Very
yeah.
funny. I'll so, put that with this episode so
yeah,
people can like
it's out
see
there.
It.
Sure, so, there. So, you know, I just kind of went, you know, maybe I should start a podcast and just interview my friends. And that was what it was going to be at first. We called it Latter-day Lives. I would say, as you have brought up, that they're similar. They are similar shows. Difference-wise, you know, first of all, we don't have Richie.
Yeah, well,
you know, you got you.
I mean, few people. Stop it.
But the other side
so,
of it.
So it's good. No.
Well, look at the run you've been on, yep. You know, it's awesome. Whereas I think that one of the things I've always loved about your show, because I'm a fan, I'm a listener.
Thank you.
But is that you're willing to explore all parts of the faith.
Sure.
We're more of a faith-centric show.
Sure.
You know, we don't dive into current issues. We don't get into, you know, it's not a place to explore our faith. It's just people's lives. We have faithful saints on who tell the stories of their lives. We call it conversations with amazing people who happen to be members of the church.
Cool.
So we just talk about whatever their life is. We've had an inordinate number of comedians on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the circle.
You know, it's the people
in.
I know. But now we've branched into places I never expected. People.
Like what?
We've had people. We've had people who have, you know, had drug addictions who
okay.
have been on. We've had people who have been through, you know, divorce and trials. You know, we had last week, my guest was trapped in a building in Haiti for 27 hours,
oh
which was amazing, and came out, and that's how he found the church. And
wow.
So we, you know, we're not, we get pretty... You know, we'll get pretty religious. We don't, it's not a doctrinal show, but it's people's lives. And so, you know, now it's like anyone with a cool story, come on and tell your story. But like I said, we don't get very topical,
sure.
which you guys do very well.
Thank you.
And, you know, and that's great that it's a place to explore faith. We're really not.
Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite?
Because I have sort of favorite moments of over the time that I've done it. I'll share a couple of them with you.
Yeah, yeah.
One, you have to go way back at theculturalhall.com to, I think it's episode 2 or 3
yeah.
with Kirby Hayborn.
Oh, yeah.
He breaks down, when I ask him what his favorite part of his faith is, he talks about making bread. And relating it to the sacrament and relating it to Christ. And it was
no
honestly,
way.
Like, even as I tell it right now, I just got chills on my legs. Look, I'm not making that up. Chills on my legs. Because it's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's one of my favorite moments.
I love that.
Also, I think you've had Steve Solberg on
yeah.
before.
Steve Solberg's so funny.
When we asked him what his favorite part of his faith was,
yeah.
and he thought I said face, and told me... and told me, he says, oh, my eyes or something like that. He identified a part of his face. By far, one of my favorite moments, too.
So Steve was on my show, and I love Steve to death. And he started telling a story about how he got started in stand-up by doing, he'd sit at parties, and he would do, like, beat poetry to PM Dawn lyrics. And he would sit, and he would just talk PM Dawn lyrics, and then he did it on the show. And I think I laughed for about 5 minutes. I loved his episode. It's impossible to pick a favorite. For a lot of reasons, possibly if I had to choose one favorite, Michael mm-hmm. Berkland. I mean, his
story is phenomenal. He was in here in the Culture Hall, he talked about it too. And I'm sure his story has furthered since he's
a soul brother to me. I love him like a brother, and we've been very close for all these years. We stayed in touch as much as we could through his hard times, and to see him where he came out the other side, and we laughed, we cried, and it was the first time that something deep was told. I mean, it was like episode 3, I think.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, of course, but he was, you know, he's very funny, but he's also very deep. And I think that a lot of times, people expect, hey, you're Richie, make me laugh.
Right.
Come on, clown boy, make me laugh. But you know, I mean, there's a deeper side to a lot of artists, and that makes it fun. So that may have been my favorite, but it's cool. So we have all kinds of different people on, and it's every Monday. It's just,
it's
a podcast.
Like clockwork?
Like clockwork. Every Monday, 4 o'clock in the morning, Utah time, it comes out.
Ooh.
Because I pre-set it. I don't get up at 4. No.
You're like,
no.
I gotta get up. Hang on.
No. So,
I think that people should check it out. You can find it where you find all your podcasts. It's obviously where you can find this. You can't find it at theculturalhall.com, but you could find it wherever you do the podcast.
You know, it's one of the things I love is, right now there are several Latter-day Saint podcasts. And one of the things I'm finding is that they all address different areas. Uh-huh. Kurt Frankum, Kurt with leading LDS, and Nick with Latter-day Saint Mission Cast. And, there are lots of different ones that are niche-y.
Yeah.
What I like about it is the further and further we get, the fewer things when you put on Netflix and they have the autoplay, mm-hmm. and you got to hurry and scroll because you don't know what's coming.
Right.
And what people consider to be uplifting or appropriate or whatever, that is shifting fast. And the fact that there are shows like yours and there are so many options, and now we're trying this Facebook Live thing, this Linger Longer, which, again, sounds like the craziest idea, four guys sitting around talking. But we got so many messages after the first one of people going, hey, this is great. This was so funny and so fun and uplifting. What a great time to be alive.
Sure.
And, I think we could do one of either thing. We could either say, oh, the world is ending. Look at what's on TV.
Right.
Or we can say, I'm going to put something on TV or whatever. We don't need, we have so many ways that we can present media now. And I think that for those of us who feel called to it, it's incumbent on us to do it. Yeah. So,
you can pitch the Linger Longer Live to the JK Network. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I saw that. That's exciting.
Folks from Studio C, the whole original cast are starting.
I don't think it's so cool.
a TV network, but
but you know what? Good on them. And I think that's what's going to end up happening is I'm afraid that eventually it might be that we can only go to safe places.
Yeah.
You know, it's surprising to me how many, my kids are all older now. My youngest is 14. He'll be 15 in a couple months,
sophomore?
He's sophomore. Sophomore, junior, no, he's a
freshman.
I had to remember because he's last year of junior high. Freshman. Yep. So we don't have the thing with little kids anymore, but it's amazing how many times you go into, a movie or you play a TV show or whatever, and all of a sudden you hear something, your jaw just drops, and you go, I would have never guessed from this show that would be going on.
Yeah.
So, I think it's cool that there are so many other cool options now, and it's fun.
I want to take another break real quick, and I want to come back, and maybe let's get a little serious.
I like serious.
All right, we'll do that coming back in the third block. Hey, you guys, I want to talk to you about bestdjinutah.com. Why, that's the company that I have started for doing my DJing weddings and live events. Whatever you need, I am your guy to do it. So whether you're a lifer or a convert to this
podcast show, or you just happen to be listening for the first time, if you are in need of a wedding DJ or an MC for your event or just a DJ for your business opening, go to bestdjinutah.com. Now, I know it says Utah, but guess what? If you want me to come to your event and you're not in Utah, I'll do that too. You're going to have to pay for me to be there, but I'm more than willing to do that as well. It's bestdjinutah.com. Emails there, phone numbers there. Would love to hear from you and then help you make your event that much better. Look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for supporting the Cultural Hall podcast. But it's a show. You knew that.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
All right, coming back in the third block of the Cultural Hall, and my guest, Sean Rapier. Am I saying it right?
You're saying it right. And in fact, you know, a fun fact about the Rapiers, yes. We almost have a patron saint in our family.
The patron saint of Rapier?
A man we all appreciate so much. This is why family history is so awesome. If you go back, we went back four generations.
Okay.
And there was a John Rapier who was not born John Rapier.
Okay.
No, he was born with a very similar last name that he slid an I into. He put the I in Rapier because prior to that, there was no I.
That's no good.
Oh, it was no good. And so for many generations before him,
that's terrible.
It was not Rapier. And so we're all so grateful for John Rapier for making us Rapiers.
Was that an immigration thing that he was like, new country, new name?
They were all, I don't know. No, he was in England. I'm actually first generation U.S. citizen on my mom's side. My mom is from all over. Canada, England, Australia.
Okay.
And then my dad, I'm like fourth generation or fifth generation out of England. All kinds of British blood.
So we promised to get a little serious here, and so I want to do that. You talked about how with your podcast that you guys are very faith-centric.
Yeah.
Have you ever been challenged as far as the gospel or felt like, man, that is not a thing I want to be a part of? Or, hey, Sean, how can you be a part of group that does this?
Yeah. No.
On any of them?
No.
Are you being genuine right now?
I'm being genuine. And I want to be clear because I feel like I should say yes, but it would be disingenuous.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I felt like I was the prodigal son a little bit.
Okay.
And I blew my inheritance when I was a teenager. I felt like I lost my way, and the fact that I was able to come back and that my life has been so overwhelmingly blessed, when I came back, I made the decision that I did not know everything and that I know so little that I believe in the prophet. I believe in Joseph Smith being a prophet. I believe in the Book of Mormon. I believe all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so important to me. I mean, that's everything for me. And when I look at my life and I look at everything I have, I cannot think of one thing I would have were it not for the church and were it not for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So when I approach it from that point of view, who am I to question things? And one of the things I've learned over time is just how little I know. When I look back at myself 5 years ago, I go, holy cow, I cannot believe I thought that was cool. Yeah. I mean, at one point in my life, I bought a Hootie and the Blowfish CD.
Hey, I only want to be with
and
you.
And I...
I went to Hootie and the Blowfish.
I did too.
June 11th of 1996 at Wolf Mountain. I was there.
I can't believe that you know that. That's impressive.
It was a Sunday.
So
I remember because I shouldn't have been going to a concert.
Yeah,
on
you shouldn't
Sunday.
Have. Yeah. I know that I don't know. And so when something comes out, when the church comes out with a stance, when the church comes out, when history gets brought up, when we come out on the side of something, one of the things that I've always found is that I have a natural tendency, if I disagree with it or if I struggle with it, to immediately go, I wonder why I'm wrong about that.
Hmm.
So maybe the answer is yes. Maybe I have struggled, but it's But the struggle is internal, not with the church. I have not, and that is a blessing. And you know, I mean, there are going to be people who roll their eyes over this, but my patriarchal blessing talks about that I have an understanding of the gospel. I understand the gospel in a way that's very simple. It's very simple. And you know, there are some kids who just, their parents say, go do this. And this was not me as a child, but this is me in the gospel. The prophet says, hey, do this. Or, hey, here's the program now. Here's what we're doing. And I go, yeah, okay, that's what we're doing. I don't find that I have intelligence to question it. I don't, and I am sheep. I'm okay. I'm not a goat. I'm a sheep, and I love being a sheep. And will I maybe follow people off a cliff? Yeah, maybe. I'll go down that way. That's okay. I believe in the Good Shepherd. I believe it all. And one of the things that I love is, look at how many things that were questionable at one point that have been, and this is me doing air quotes, made right over time. And we have a tendency to say,
well, I want to see it
in
now.
The moment. Yeah, in the moment. I don't get it now. And I need this answered now. And then we get to know people. And then we look outside of our view. The other part of it is I've been very blessed in my career where I've done a lot of international business. Mm-hmm. And I've spent a lot of time in Singapore and China and in all through Europe. I mean, I've been to all these countries and stuff, and I've seen the world. And when I really look at the broad world, I can see the Lord's hand in all of it. And if I've been guided that many times, and I get up in the morning, I say my prayers, I read my scriptures, and I'm the furthest thing from perfect, but I get guided into all these amazing discussions with people, and I see the Lord's hand, and I see the love, and I see all the good that the church does. And I got to go to sacrament meeting. I've been to sacrament meetings in Taiwan and in Hong Kong and in China and in London and in Australia and all over the world. And I see the saints there, and I see people trying to do their best. I see all that good. What's amazing to me is that the grain of sand falls in, and we're immediately ready to ditch the whole thing. Or we're ready to say, but I don't like this one thing. That's okay. I'm a big believer in Lehi's dream. I dig the iron rod, man, because otherwise I'm lost. And I know there are times where that's hard, and I am grateful. The other thing I appreciate, though, is I don't look down on people who don't, though. I admire people who question.
Sure.
When I have friends who question, I go, wow, where do you get that fortitude? And I'm grateful that I don't. Like, I'm super glad that I don't,
right?
Because I think it must be hard. But I take it all as one. I decided a long time ago that if I'm going to raise my hand and support the prophet, that the prophet, being the head of the church under Jesus Christ, that the prophet is the head of the church, on the whole church, that I'm just going to take everything that comes along with that. And that's what it means to me. And I'm grateful for people who have the strength to stand up and ask questions. I think questions can be the catalyst to change. That's not my role on earth. I've been shown that. My role is to show people the safety of the gospel. My role is to be a comforter, to maybe show the other side of it, to maybe express the church's side. I stand with the prophet. I stand with the church. I don't always get it. Deep down, are there 15 things in the church that I would change if I were in charge, if I were the prophet? Yeah, I would. But that's not my job. But I do know that when I go to a temple recommend interview, I cry almost every time when they ask me if I sustain the prophet, because I just do. And I don't know where I'd be without him. Does that all sound super sappy?
No. I mean, it's real. As I'm looking at you, hopefully people can hear that in what you're saying.
Yeah.
I feel like they can, because as I'm watching you, I can tell that's how you feel.
Yeah, it is. And again,
if they want it to be sappy, meh.
And it's not heavy and it's not deep, and maybe it's, I've been told before that I'm naive, and I've been told I should think more for myself and stuff. And again, I'm just not smart enough to do that. So I'm grateful for leaders who give us general direction, and then the rest of it, I think I pray for it. So
I've got three questions that we ask everyone who steps into the cultural hall. You knew they were coming.
I do know that they're coming.
So let me ask.
But by the way, I didn't prepare any answers. I just thought I'd put that out there, that I did not prepare a single answer for you.
Us creative types never do.
No, I didn't, because I want it to be spontaneous.
Do you have a calling right now? And if so, what is it?
I do have a calling, and for the last 2 months, my wife and I are the ward YSA specialists.
Okay.
So our job in our ward is to basically keep track of all the kids who have left the ward, who grew up in the ward, whose families still live there, and who have... gone other places, keep track of them. And then from January just till June, we teach the oldest kids, kind of prepare them to transition over to the YSA ward.
Cool.
It's cool. My wife and I get to share a calling. I've never had that my whole life.
That's awesome.
So I'm loving that, man. It's cool.
I wonder how she feels about it.
She hates it. She asked if she could get a new companion, which I thought was horrible.
This is the craziest way to ask for a divorce. I've never even...
Wait, when you say you want a new companion...
Now, when you're talking about...
Are you talking about the calling, right?
Hang on.
You're only talking about the calling, please. By the way, if you ever want to see my wife angry, ask her if it's fun to live with me.
Oh, I'm sure not.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask her if I'm funny at home. I perform a lot, and so I get recognized from time to time, and people come up, is he just hilarious at home? And you can literally see the steam start to come out of my wife's ears. Yeah.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make one up, what would you pick?
I taught gospel doctrine for 4 years in a row as our ward's only gospel doctrine leader, our teacher. That was awesome. That was awesome. That was my favorite calling, but if I could choose one calling and I would make this up, I wish I could be ward lifeline. I wish I could be the person in the ward who's designated when you don't know who to call,
right,
to call me. Maybe, and I know that's the role of the bishop, but I think sometimes people think there might be implications with the bishop or whatever. Sure. I wish I was like required, because I think that sometimes for whatever reason, and again, there are ministers, former home teachers, but ministers now, bishops, Relief Society presidents, there are always people assigned, but I think that sometimes each of those people carry some form of baggage with them.
Right.
And what I wish is, I've heard people say, I felt alone and I didn't know who to call, or I didn't feel like I had anyone. That kills me. Hmm. That breaks my heart. And so if I could make up a calling, it would be ward final lifeline. Yeah. Like, when you don't know who to call, you have to call me at 3 a.m. or whatever, and let me come hang out with you, and let's just go get a Pepsi and talk about whatever's going on. That's what I want to be.
Cool. The final question, so I'll ask it of it now. Steve Solberg. What is your favorite part of your faith?
Faith. My favorite part of my faith is that there's literally not one part of my life that I can think of that it doesn't like revolve around. It's all encompassing. It's kind of everything. And it might be lazy even. I try not to put it on cruise control, but my faith makes my decisions for me in a lot of ways. Hmm. It kind of tells me where I'm going. It's a liahona. I mean, it really is. And it's, again, not that my life is... I want to be careful. I don't want to come across like just that everything's easy. It's not. Right. My life is very hard. There are a lot of things in my life that are remarkably hard. But my favorite thing about my faith is the comforting and just that guidance that I get, because, man, if it all... A friend of mine who left the church many years ago, who's a really dear friend of mine, one of the best dudes I've ever met. We were business partners for a while. And he left the church and he said, what would happen if you found out today that it was all fake? Like, the prophet stands up, that none of this is real,
yeah,
and it all goes away today. What would you do? And I said, my life would change so very little. I'd find somewhere else to go for 3 hours. I mean, let's say we found out that none of it was true. Like, atheism is true.
Right.
I would honor the Sabbath because I like what that does for me.
Right.
I would pay 10% to some type of organization because I like what that does for my finances and how that keeps me grounded. I would consecrate Monday nights for my family because I think it strengthens us. I wouldn't drink. I wouldn't smoke. I maybe would eat a little more meat because I really like meat. but my life would change very little. I'm not one of those saints, and I'm grateful that I haven't had this challenge where I begrudgingly am a member of the church, because right. I think it's true and I think I have to.
Or you're a member of the church and you begrudgingly do some things that...
Right. And there are things, don't get me wrong. Saturday morning at 8 o'clock and I'm one of three guys there to move someone who hasn't packed their boxes yet. I am begrudging in that moment. And scouting, generally. I've raised four boys now. Three of them are Eagle Scouts. One's about to be. Every part of that was begrudging, because if I were to change one thing, well... It is changing in the church.
Yeah.
Scouting is my biggest number one issue in the church. But basically, I would change very little. I just wouldn't change. I love being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I just love it. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. And I don't know. I get sad when people don't. When people are sad about the church, it makes me sad. And again, I want to be that phone call they make so we can sit and just talk about it. Have a Pepsi.
People can find you on Facebook, Linger Longer Live.
Linger Longer Live.
And it's Latter-day Lives.
Latter-day Lives.
Wherever you get your podcasts. Wherever
that's
you
what
get
we do.
Podcasts. And it's every Monday at 4 in the morning, you guys. It's more reliable than this show.
When goes, we can. Yeah. It's awesome. Well, that's what Linger Longer Live is, by the way. Linger Longer Live, maybe every 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. And we don't have a set time or whatever. Whenever our schedules line up, we'll do it.
And then
it.
You can go back and watch them, obviously.
Yeah, you can go back and see them. We have a YouTube channel too, where we're posting them now.
Well,
if you want to go back to them.
Linger Longer Live, is that what it's called?
Linger Longer Live. So
Sean, I hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
Absolutely.
If you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week. And when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat on the back.